Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches on FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Happy Wednesday. It's hump day already. Thank God it's Wednesday. And meaning here at the church it's Wednesday, we have a service tonight. It's a Bible study, midweek Bible study, informal. We roll out the dry erase board. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, is teaching that this time around. And he is in the book of Romans, verse by verse. We're in chapter 5. You guys are invited here. If you are tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, you've still got 25 minutes to make it to Island. Now, we are at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. That's Island Community Church. 6 to 7 is our study tonight. This Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, also, Pastor Darren will be bringing the message for that. And I'm really excited to hear that. The sermon that God's put on his heart, Sunday morning at 10:30. You are invited. We'd love to see you. Now, you're going to hear today something I just preached on Sunday, and it's in this little mini-series I've called The Long Night, because this is all one sermon, and it was all spoken around the Last Supper. It's the last night the Lord was here on earth prior to his betrayal and crucifixion. The Long Night Part 2, I'm not going in order. Last week we looked at John 15. Here today is going to be John chapter 14. There's a lot of stuff in this chapter. This is Part 1. Part 2 will air tomorrow. Let's get into the Word now. Okay, The Long Night is the name of this. Long Night Part 2. In the Gospel of John, chapters 14 through 17 consist of one long sermon. And it was on the same night, this is why I wanted to have communion here today. All this took place on this night before he was crucified. And these chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17 in the Gospel of John is all one long sermon that he gave. So I'm kind of not going in order. We started on chapter 15. Now today we're going to look at chapter 14. Next week, Pastor Darren will be preaching on Resurrection Sunday. And then the following week, I think we'll hit chapter 16. And then we'll get back in our study here in the book of Revelation. Now, we're in John chapter 14. Let's pick it up in verse 1. You know, whenever you don't hear songs from my iPad on a Sunday morning, you know you guys are in for it. So it's going to be a... maybe a long sermon here today, but, well, let's get started. Anyone in a hurry? No. Okay, John 14, 1. The Lord Jesus speaking. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And he says that because he is God's son. The Father said about his son, on the day his son was baptized to show us the way, he says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The Lord Jesus Christ is not the Father, but he's still God. Read it for yourself right here in his word. We read in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the word." The word logos, that's a proper name for Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. That's why the W is capitalized in that text. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:58, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." We also read in Colossians 1:15, "He is the image of the invisible God." Remember that word icon? Remember we looked at what that means? An exact representation of an original. He is the image or the icon of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. That's God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said as much in the Great Commission. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." Now, verse 2, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there." That's a T-H-E-R-E. That's how you spell there. "There you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know." What a great promise that is, isn't it? And a promise we're still waiting for, by the way. 2,000 years later, we're still waiting for this. He said, "If I go and prepare a place for you," which of course is true, because everything that he says is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Since this is true, then no one understands that he's coming back again, because he says that he's coming back again. That's all we need to know. He says he's coming back again. It hasn't happened yet. That's why we crane our necks and look. Because we don't know when this is going to happen. But he said it's going to happen. And he said it's going to happen at a time or an hour that you know not. Just at the time you don't think it's going to happen, that is when it's going to happen. There remains the promise the Son of God is going to return, and he's going to take us to where he is in his Father's house, he says. It's a house with many mansions. Now someone, Jim, asked me here just right before the service starts, "What happens to my soul after I die?" Your soul right now is hanging out in the place where the carpenter built if you've died and left this world. Your loved one, your mother, your father, everyone who's called on the name of the Lord Jesus, when the Lord went down and cleaned out Abraham's bosom, he brought all of his with him. Matthew 28:19, it says, I saw the spirits of those that had died walking down the streets of Jerusalem. Maybe when Matthew wrote that, he saw his Uncle Harry walking down the street. Uncle Harry, who died 20 years earlier. They were seen right there in town, see? So now, the great carpenter has gone, just like he promised, to prepare a place for you. And I would say my best educated PhD guess is that when you die and leave this world, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And that's not my guess. He says that. I don't have to guess that. Look, I don't have all end times figured out, but this I do know. The Lord Jesus is coming back soon, and he's promised that I will return there. Catch the word there. Where he is now. I will return there with him, so that, it says, where he is, there I may be also. All right, verse 4 again. He says, "Where I go, you know, and the way, you know." So Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" So that is, how can we know? How can we know? How can we know how to get to where you're going? Verse 6, the Lord Jesus said to him, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So, number one, he says, "I am the way." And that is the only way. He is not a way. Look at the sign. He is not a way. He is the way. He's the only way. The only way to get to the Father is through the Son. It's a one-way street that leads to heaven. It is a one-way street that leads to heaven. And that avenue is His Son. And God authenticated everything His Son said when He raised them up from the dead. Anyone can say that they're the way. God authenticated what Jesus said when death had no hold of Him. That's what sets Him apart from everyone else. The Bible says that you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. He did not corrupt and rot in the grave. God raised Him up. That's what makes Him saying I am the way different than me saying it or somebody else. Is I'm going to die in this world. Him saw no corruption. I am the way. Peter wrote, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Paul wrote, through Him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Ephesians 2:18. Paul also wrote this, Romans 5:2. Through Him, there's another through Him. Through Him also we have access by faith. Access. It's like a theater ticket that says on it, admit one. Not admit two. You can't give your ticket or share it with someone else. Admit one, it says on it. Through Him we have access by faith. That is, I don't see you. I don't see you, but I believe you. I don't see it, but I believe it. He said, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. Is that you? Through Him we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So, no one understand, Jesus Christ is the way, the only way, the one-way street, the way to Jehovah, the way to eternal life, the way to atonement for your sins. Because He's the only one that can deal with the problem of sin that you have. In case you have forgotten, you are a sinner. And the wages of your sin, the Bible says, is death. And without the shedding of blood, it says in the Bible, Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Someone has to pay the cost and pay the price for my sin. So no one understand, the only way to enter in through the pearly gates is to have someone pay the price that is required for your sins. Enter in the Son of God. In whom we have redemption, through His blood, the Bible says, the remission of sins. And either you can pay with your own blood, which won't get you anywhere, by the way, except Hades. Or you can receive God's life preserver. Because God Himself has provided the way for you. That way is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, I could just preach on that one verse today, right? John 14:6. What else do we need other than that? This is why the Son says, I am the way. There's only one way to get to God, church. There's only one way to have your sins atoned for. There's only one way for this to happen to your soul. Remember Romans 5:1. Right? Having been by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way. That's through the blood of God's Son to obliterate your sins. His blood is the only blood that can. And all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. Receive Him today. No one else can pay the cost. But pure, undefiled blood, untainted by sin, my blood can't save you. Only His. Because He was the only one born without a sin nature like me. Psalm 51:5, David said, in sin my mother conceived me. Sin has left a crimson stain. Anytime I go out to eat with my wife, she makes me take that white shirt off. Linguine sauce will ruin my white shirt. Now, I don't like linguine, but I'll tell you what, I will get it on there if I got a white shirt and we go out somewhere. It won't come off. Likewise, sin has done the same thing, except my sin, the wages of my sin is death. I can throw my shirt out, thank God. He's washed me white as snow. That's good news this morning. Let's stop for a minute. Sin has left a crimson stain. He's washed me white as snow. He also said in this verse, he said, I am the truth. Now Jesus said to Pontius Pilate in chapter 18, verse 37 of the same gospel, he said, I have come to bear witness to the truth. Then he said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Do you hear him today? He is the truth. Can you hear him through the pages of your Bible? Do you hear him coming out of this pulpit? Not me, it's his word. Now, some people say, you have your truth and I have mine. Wrong. No, wrong. Wrong! Because there's only one truth. His truth. He said, I am the truth. Not I just speak the truth. I know the truth. He says, I am. Ego, eimi, ho, alethinos, he said. I am the truth. There's only one truth that's found in a person. He is truth. All was proven, because I can get up here and say to you people, you know what? I am the truth. I'm going to die. You see, all this was authenticated when God raised him up from the dead. C.S. Lewis says he's either a liar or a heretic. He's on the same level of calling himself a poached egg. Or he is the Almighty Savior, Son of God. There's no middle ground with him. He said, I am the truth. God proved it when he raised him up from the dead. Number three, he said, I am the life. Not just a life. He's the life. The only life that ever matters to us, the life. He's referring to everlasting life. Think about it. We blow through that promise all the time. Can't read through John 3:16 fast enough, can we? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That sounds like us saying grace at our house. God is great, God is good, we thank him for our food, amen. Back when I was 9. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He says, I am that life. To everyone who receives the Lord Jesus by calling out to him, turning and repenting of sin, then going down in these waters of baptism and walking in newness of life and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then look at the rest of what he says here in verse 6. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Everyone understand that this morning? There's no second way. There's no any other way. Only him. Verse 7, he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and you have seen him. So Philip said to him, all right, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. So Jesus said to him, really, Philip? To use Esposito paraphrase, really? After 3.5 years, now that's what you're going to say? All right, so he said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Phil? He who has seen me
has seen the Father. So how can you say, how sayest thou, show us the Father? Now, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Keep your finger there. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 1. That's just right past that here. But let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, real quick. Where are we at on our barbecue board? Oh, that's way up there. Uh-oh. You guys ain't leaving for a long time. Sorry. The barbecue board. Well, I attempt to go in order so you can know how far I am on this sermon by where we're at on this board. Let's just keep going. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. I'm building on what he said, this statement here that he said. He says, for everyone that has seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what he said. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, that's the Son, by him all things were created. See, this is how he can say, if you've seen me, you've seen God. I am God. All things were created. I'm sorry. By him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and for him. All right, now flip over to Hebrews chapter 1. Just a few books after that. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 3 and then I'm going to read verse 8. Let me read Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Speaking of Christ. I'm going to read this from the ESV translation. Speaking of Christ. It says, he is the radiance of the glory of God, and he is the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Boy, imagine that. The Lord Jesus just says to the galaxy, chill. Take that, Carl Sagan. Now look down in chapter 1 to verse 8. Look at what the Father says about the Son. Look at what he calls, look at what he calls his Son. Chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. But look at that. God just called him God. Did you catch that? Notice too the distinction of the Trinity. The Son is God, but the Son is not the Father. But he's the exact imprint of his nature. Remember, no one has ever seen God and lived to talk about it. Now let's move on here to verse 12. Back to John, chapter 14. Verse 12. Now, most assuredly I say to you, that's amen, amen. For verily, verily, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. All right, so let's go out here and raise the dead. What do you guys think? Who's with me? But that's what he said, right? I hear this verse quoted all the time in the wrong way. They say you can do greater works than Jesus did because look, he said it right here. then let's go to the hospital. If that's what he meant, let's go to the hospital. Let's go to the hospital and let's go to the graveyard. Let's greater works than these. He raised people from the dead. Do you think you can do it? Let's see what he meant by that. You see, that's not what he meant. And just one single word in this text proves that. It's the word because. Notice that word. He says, greater works than these you will do because. Because I'm going away, he said. Back to the Father. Now remember what Jesus said in John 16, 7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage I'm going away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So, he said, greater works than these you will do because he is going to send the Holy Spirit of the living God into the world and start his ministry. And now, looking back 2,000 years, ask yourself, how has that worked out for him? Look around. I'd say pretty good. You travel more in a week than the Lord Jesus ever did in his whole life. Look at the greater works that have been done through you and through people throughout the entire world. This entire country is what it is, or at least what it was, due to the preaching of a few good men in this country. George Whitefield, Jonathan Edwards, these guys transformed the landscape.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.